Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Abu Dhabi is Abdulrahman Al-Jabari. Abdulrahman is the head of ethics and compliance at the TACA Group. And today we're going to be talking about something really innovative that they've done and what's going on at the company. First, Abdulrahman, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Adam. It's great to be on this podcast with you, and I look forward to answering all your questions.
Oh, great. So I think it's good if you give some background on TACA and the changes it was going through when you were brought in to head up the compliance program.
Absolutely. So TACA recently underwent a merger, but prior to that, TACA was predominantly an oil and gas energy company. It has operations all over the world, from North America, US, Canada, to Europe, the UK, Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, of course, where it's headquartered. And it recently underwent a merger with Abu Dhabi Power Company, which wasn't a listed entity. And Abu Dhabi Power is predominantly a utilities company, generating power and delivering, transmitting and distributing water and electricity. So the merger of them two has created effectively one of the, and at some point, the largest listed entity by market capitalization in the UAE, and effectively a company that has the full supply chain of energy covered from exploration, extraction, all the way to transmission and distribution down to the end user. So that's TACA pretty much in a nutshell, or at least the new TACA. So when I came in about a year ago, the merger had just taken place, and it was this new, newly formed entity of old TACA and Abu Dhabi Power group of companies. And there was this need to put in an ethics compliance program to meet the regulatory requirements for such a large organization and unify the culture across the board and really put in place a program that works for the organization.
And unifying the culture is always important. I've read the statistic many times that 50% of mergers fail on culture issues, and obviously the compliance aspect is very important to that. Now, you took a really interesting approach to how you develop and share the code of conduct. It's available both as a paper document and also as sort of a virtual reality experience. Why such an enormous range first?
That's a really good question. So. First of all, a significant portion of the organization, which was the Abu Dhabi Power Companies, a group of companies, didn't really have a compliance program or any effective compliance policies altogether. The TACA Group had something pretty basic, but nothing substantial. So we needed to, we were speaking to an audience that. The majority of them didn't have any exposure to any ethics compliance program. So we wanted to really capture their attention and really bring a code to life and give them the opportunity to engage with it and interact with it in a way that hasn't been done before or even seen before. So we came up with this idea for a virtual reality code where people can, as I mentioned, engage and interact with the document. But why we've kept the old set of policies, or at least the paper format, is so that we offer many options for employees to be able to access and view the code. For those who are more traditional and like a paper policy to go through and perhaps print out and look at, and they're more comfortable with that, we've retained the more traditional format. But we've also created an interactive PDF, which is kind of a clickable document, and you can preview that on our website, taqa.com, under Who We Are, the Ethics Compliance tab. And that document is pretty interactive and has a lot of nice features. But then we've taken it a step further and also created that virtual reality experience to really captivate the audience, offer up something different, use it as a tool to excite people onto a topic that a lot of people generally don't necessarily get a sense of excitement to begin with. So that's pretty much it.
So I think the virtual reality format's really cool for its own sake, but you need to have a business reason why you did this. So why did you pursue this format amongst all the choices you had out there?
That's another great question. So for us, one of the organizational values is innovation, and we wanted to apply that value in pursuing the format that we were going to follow. And virtual reality is some of the more cutting edge technology that's being used in the learning and education front. And we wanted to see how we can use that format to apply it in this way. And I think we've been quite successful, and a testament to that is that we actually recently won the Middle East Legal Award for most innovative innovator of the year in compliance. So that's something we're very proud of for the code. So it seems to have struck the right tone with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I spent some time wandering through it, and as people wander through it, they end up exploring both the code and the company. I mean, you get to see everything from office suites to drilling platforms out at sea. I imagine that was very intentional. What were you looking to achieve in this format by combining both?
Yeah, so as you've seen, so as you walk through the virtual reality experience, you start off in an office setting, which is very reminiscent of our offices, but it's not exactly it. So it gives a sense for those who aren't here in our headquarter offices, a sense of what it's like to be in our offices. But then as you move throughout the experience, you're transformed into different spaces that resemble our various operations around the world. And it gives the other employees and the other personnel who may never get the opportunity to travel to these places an opportunity to get a sense of what it's like to be there. It gives an opportunity for those who work in the operations to see what it's like to be in the offices. And it gives an opportunity for those who are in the offices and never get the chance to step out into the field to get a sense of what it's like to be in those in that setting. And we wanted to bring together the employee base on that note. So really uniting the organization. As you noted, one of the challenges is for mergers is culture failure. And that's something we're striving to combat and not fall into. And by unifying the organization, the employee base around the sense of belonging to the Taqa group and a sense of pride and sense of understanding of what it is. And we believe that this code offers that or at least our virtual reality code helps supports us on that front.
It's a great example of compliance as a business enabler and really helping to make a merger work, not just be one more thing to deal with during a merger. Now, what advice would you give to a compliance professional who, after seeing what you've done, wants to do something similar?
The advice that I would give to somebody trying to emulate this is alignment initially or at first is alignment with management on the approach, the objective, making sure that you have budget for this and the resources to make sure that this is done completely and properly. You're going to need to align with your group communications team to make sure that whatever you're producing is in line with your corporate plan and your corporate communications. You're also going to need to align with your IT department to make sure that whatever it is you're producing is compatible with your systems or is going to be compatible or available to all your employee base. It'd be a shame if you produce something and then it's only available to external parties and maybe not your internal system. So that would be it. But of course, making sure that you have a proper plan, a proper objective, and a clear vision for what you want to use this for is really going to be key.
And going back to something you said earlier about making sure it's accessible internally, that's one of those things that can't be understated. I mean, oftentimes bandwidth is low. There's other restrictions that can get in the way of, really cool technology, and it's important to be aware of that. So finally, what's been the reaction for management in the workforce?
I mean, it's we've had a wide range of reactions from the just the some people are just astonished, some people are fascinated, but we all the responses have been overwhelmingly positive. People are excited about seeing something different, seeing something being presented in a completely different and creative way that's never been seen or done before. People people say it's refreshing to see this type of creativity being applied to in an area that is traditionally been seen as very I don't want to call it well, to some people they may consider compliance bland or too technical, but we're coming at it with a different approach and hoping to change the hearts and minds about and change any misconceptions about what compliance is and really make it something that's cool and something that people relate to and not just policies and procedures, but really something that offers up the opportunity to unify an organization and creates a sense of pride.
Well, it's definitely something worth being proud of, and anyone who comes to complianceandethics.org and looks up this podcast will be able to find the link straight to it. Well, Abdul Rahman, thank you so much for taking the time to tell the story of what you've done and share these insights into how to make an initiative like this successful. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.